Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. Impact is our next feature. And today we have quite an interesting story. You probably don't know of them or of their work, but this work has a lot of impact on the ground. If you look at the stories of how people have been affected by the work of an organization called Sociotech. And we'll have its head explain all of that to us just now. You'll see exactly what I mean. So I just want to welcome, and I said to them, you know, on a public holiday, it's quite rare for people to come in. But you coming through today is really special. Thank you very, very much. I've got two guests today. I've got Sibusiso Sombatha. I will introduce him and he'll explain exactly what he does. And we'll also speak to Lydia Delanga, who is a head of technology innovation systems at Sociotech. Is it Sociotech BBL?
Yes.
Yes. So let's start right there. Lydia, maybe give us an overview of what Sociotech BBL does and who you guys are.
Perfect. Thank you very much for having us. It's really great to be here. So I think I will say a little bit about Sociotech, but I was just talking to Sibusiso and he says it's so much better. So Sibusiso is one of our facilitators.
Yes.
And he works on the ground every day and he really carries the people, the hearts of the South African people. So to answer your question, Sociotech BBL. BBL stands for broad-based livelihoods. So we really look at the broad base of society, the poorest of the poor. How can we uplift them? How can we teach them how to never be hungry again and never not make money again?
Mm.
And so it is about food confidence and economic empowerment.
Mm. And where did the idea, you know, come from initially? Originally, you know, whose idea was this? And I get the fact that, of course, it makes perfect sense to solve for hunger in this country and to solve for poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea, where did it originate from?
So it actually, this company was started 30 years ago by my mom.
Mm.
So I always call Sociotech my older sibling. And she was working for the government in irrigation and water law. She's actually an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was tasked to go out into the communities and investigate how they do, well, how the irrigation law can empower them as well. So she always calls it the trickle up and not just trickle down.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw what she created a couple of, she did a lot of research overseas and she would come and implement it on the ground in South Africa and see what works locally. So a lot of the water-wise systems that worked in India, for example, she would try out locally and see what works. And then that's how Sociotech was born. She really wanted to do rainwater harvesting for our communities. She also found that drip irrigation and deep trench tunnels work very, very well in South Africa.
Well, let me bring in, as you said, a facilitator on the ground, Sibusiso Sombatha, who is in studio as well. Thank you so much, Bob, for making time for us and for coming through. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thanks, Tissy.
You are a facilitator, but your journey in farming starts way back before we had this Sociotech BBL. Let's talk a little bit about your own personal journey.
Yes. On my story, I've been raised by a mom who is a farmer, just farming to sustain the family.
Mm.
Yeah, and then she could farm, sell vegetables. We grew up eating vegetables from my mom's garden. Mm. So when I was here in Johannesburg, it was back in 1996, my first year out of school, then I came to Johannesburg. And then after that, it's been like not doing any farming until I found Sociotech. They found us, then they trained us on farming. At that time, I was not working and my wife was not working and we had children in the house.
Mm.
So a big family without anyone working. Then they introduced this farming method, the special one.
Yeah.
Not that a normal farming that other companies are training.
Yeah.
We are training a special or smart farming.
Yes.
Yeah. Then we learned on that one. we implemented right from there. Mm. Then it reminded me of my young age when we were just like growing vegetables and selling them. Then we started to join Sociotech and also implement a lot on that one.
So the principles would be obviously to be smart on farming, right?
Yes.
So that we get better crops and
yes.
all of that.
Yes.
And then we speak about the poverty alleviation. What's the chain from the farming, from the farm? What then helps families with you know, alleviating poverty?
We are targeting mindset, changing the mindset. Yes, we start with the garden because if we are in the garden, you can grow something, you eat. Then the food stomach's leading to working hands. Quickly, with that spinach or that cabbage you planted, you eat, then you sell the surplus. It's already pushing you to business.
Quickly, let's talk about access to market, because I also hear other stories from subsistence farmers who talk of, you know, the market being closed off to them. You know, you have bigger farmers who I suppose have, you know, monopolize the industry, and it's harder as a subsistence farmer to supply produce to supermarkets and all of that. How then do you allow and open those doors of a market to guys that actually come into to Sociotech BBL?
Okay, so I think that we should probably talk about where Sociotech operates.
Yes.
The people who enter the Sociotech facilitation sessions are people who haven't, who are really in the worst of the worst situation.
Yes.
They're desperate.
Yes.
It's not good.
Yeah.
They're hopeless.
Yeah.
So they don't have a huge farm to start off with.
I was going to
they do.
Yeah.
The people we work with are those, like Sibusisa said, the real garden that we're working on is the garden between the two ears, the mind. We are taking someone from not believing in themselves, coming from generations of
poverty.
Just a hopelessness. And with hopelessness, I mean, there's nothing to be done.
Yeah.
This is my situation. We say, you know what? You actually can. And you can just start with one deep trench. You're going to do the hard work. This is going to come from your God-given talents and your own hands and your own work. You're going to dig these trenches. You're going to plant some seedlings. And usually it's spinach. Most of the time it's spinach.
Because it's quick. Because
it's quick
results.
And within a month or 2 months, your family is eating and you are selling. Within a month or 2 months. And so the people that we are working with are going on that journey. And there are situations like Sammy, maybe you can tell the story about Sammy, where someone grows to a much larger scale, and then we take it from there. But what we are really working on is building relationships with people, helping them realize that they are able, and then taking them on a journey to food confidence, we call it.
Maybe I can add on that one. The market is big, very big. Why do we say that? Around the areas we are helping our participants to implement, there are more customers around them.
Yeah.
They're in the location. If they want to take a truck to take their food or their produce to the local market or to the local shop, same people that are staying next to her are going to the shop. So why that round? They can get it from the garden, fresh from the garden.
Organically produced.
Around them.
Yeah.
So we don't have a problem of customers. We've got customers for our farmers.
Yeah.
They are neighbors.
Let's talk about, you spoke a little bit earlier about, these are people who are living maybe in a backyard. You know, you've got all sorts of circumstances. Where's the land to farm? Where do people farm?
Yeah, if there is love, there will be always a way out. You know, on our location, there is power lines that no one is allowed to build anything under it. But farmers can use that land.
Wait a minute. You mean electricity power lines?
Electricity power lines. People are using those spaces. They are very big. communities can go and work together on that land. And also, we've got open spaces, like maybe in future there will be more development, but for now the space is vacant. Mm-hmm. No one is stopping farmers to plant vegetables. Only the thing that they don't have to do is to build shacks and other things, but to plant on the area they are allowed. So we do have a problem of spaces on other locations, but on other locations we still find the way of getting farmers working.
Do you work with municipalities in getting space approval?
Yes, we used to when we are doing the scoping and also mobilization, we work with the local leaders like councillors.
Yes.
Then we inform them.
Yeah.
They come with them with the land. You know, this land they can
use this
space. They can use this space is available. Then our farmers can work. Others have got space in their yards. Others have got back rooms and they don't have a space, but they can still go outside and clean the dumping site and plant it there.
Yeah, you should tell your story. Like,
go ahead.
Yes, if I can share my story on that one.
Mm.
Yes, after getting the training from Social Tech, I had no land.
Yes, that's
no
the
space.
Question everybody wants to know. You know, if
no
I'm poor, I don't have land, I would like to do this, what do I do?
But on my location, where I'm staying, outside at the edge of the location, there was just like a space where people are dumping things.
Yes.
Dumping.
I see lots of
then
that.
Then I started to clean that land. Cleaned it. There are people who were consistent, like coming every day to throw things.
This is what they do.
Yeah.
They've been doing this for a long time, right?
Then, yes. But I used to go on Tuesday with my children to pick up those plastic and pick up those things. And then the truck will come on Wednesday morning.
Oh.
And then we throw to the truck.
Oh.
Until the land was like clean. Then I started to use not the fence that I bought. I used the mattresses, the bed mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
Then I opened them to make two parts. Then I fenced the land close to 1 hectare. Then I started implementing. Then people were buying vegetables from my garden. So you can make means of getting the land to work on.
I mean, it's an incredible... there's a story, which is not a good story, but there's a story of... a guy who had a big fight that went to court with a neighbor in a suburb because right next to the two of them was a little piece of open patch. And the guy decided, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to plant some vegetables and fruits. And then the neighbor was like, no way. I don't want fruits and vegetables right next to us. It became a huge political football. But, you know, it's about, I like what you're saying, Lydia, it's about the mindset.
Mm.
I've often asked myself, there was a time when I was growing up where you would, in fact, I think in other areas as well, maybe not so much in Johannesburg, where along the road you would find fruit trees.
Yes.
And people would be able to pick, whether it's mulberries or whatever the case may be, depending on the season. Right now, that's not what we see. You know, I find
changed.
It so weird with so much hunger. That our roads, even along the freeway, wherever, they're lined with sometimes invasive species and not things that would feed the nation. Very bizarre for me.
Yeah. I think there's something about the fact that we have created a dependence.
Mm.
We've created a type of dependence in our country.
Mm.
And when you are limited by the idea that you can only... you have to survive on 350 rand.
Mm.
Then you don't go for your mind isn't open to the idea that you can generate more than that, and you can, because I said there's that hopelessness. So what we are working on is changing that mindset, going from yes, take that 350, do something with it. It doesn't have to be a garden. That's the one thing that Social Tech struggles with. People think that we do gardens. It's those people that do gardens. Actually, we try and help people to think about profit. You can have a business already, but if you're not making profit and you're not investing back into the business and thinking ahead, then you're not going to go anywhere.
Okay, if we talk about profit, there are times when the supermarket would sell spinach for 10 rand. They've got too much, they've got a surplus, it's too much, and they want to just get it moving because also it wilts and all of that stuff.
Yes.
That's you are fighting against quite a big giant. 10 rand, that's hard, hey? That's very hard to make profit from something like that when you're competing.
Mm. Yeah. It depends also on the quality of the vegetable you're growing.
Mm.
You can go to a supermarket and buy a vegetable. I can grow you a vegetable. And then if you cook them, you can taste that they are not the same.
Mm.
Because our method is, we are purely organic. Mm. Even our pest control is organic. So we are planting a high quality of vegetable.
Mm.
Our neighbors, they know that the best vegetable will be found on Social Tech participants.
Yeah, and I think the great thing about that organic, it's a cool word right now, to everything should be organic. But the reason why our things are organic is because we're trying, my mom is an engineer, she thinks about how can we do this the cheapest way? How can someone do something with what they can find around them without having to pay for it?
Yeah.
And so these are these, fertilizer mixes with manure or pesticide mixes with chili and things like that. Things that you can either grow or find around you that you can use to grow your garden.
So how does the ecosystem work? So people just reach out to you and what happens? Here's someone listening who is desperate, would love to work. So, you know, the idea that people don't work because they're lazy is not necessarily always true.
Yeah.
But doesn't really know where to start, what to do. As I said, they don't think, I don't have land, I've got nothing. How do they start getting in touch with you, and what's the process?
Yes, they can phone Social Tech.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. But what we normally use or say to someone asking for help, it's my village, we need you, this site, guys, are you coming to train us? Sometimes we may be limited of the funds of going there.
Yeah.
Maybe someone is phoning from Eastern Cape.
Yes, yes.
I can ask him or her that, do you see any garden tunnel? No, any garden tunnel next to you there in your area?
Mm-hmm.
If you say, yes, I see a garden net or a garden tunnel, go there. Ask that person. Ask who is the owner. He will teach you what to do. And then you don't have to have anything. You don't need anything to start farming. You don't need to accept the packet of seeds. That's what you buy.
Mm.
Then you start and you grow from there. The only thing is, we cannot be everywhere according to the causes. We are getting more calls around. Then we just tell them, get someone who has been trained
closer to you.
Closer to you.
Yes.
Because we are training the trainers
who
will continue to help their neighbors.
That's the idea, to pass it forward.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's our 1,000 Tunnel campaign. That's a good segue to our 1,000 Tunnel campaign. We have a campaign running now because there are so many people out there asking for us. That we realized we have to go national. And so we've figured out a new way, or we're trying this new way to reach them, and that is our 1,000 Tunnel campaign. And I will tell you a little bit more about that, but one of the elements of Social Tech that's part of our mindset, that's part of our philosophy, is that that person who has a tunnel deserved it. We never gave it to them. It's not a gift.
Mm.
It's a reward.
Mm.
And what they have to do in order to get that greenhouse tunnel that protects their crops, keeps the pests out, keeps the chickens out, the bad weather out, and gives them 3 times yield, to get that reward, they have to have implemented their own tunnel, their own garden, and they have to have helped and trained many other families to do the same, and that are actively doing the same. And so they're already paying it forward, and they find out that they love it so much, some have trained 70 families to do the same in their community. So that tunnel is not a gift, it's a reward.
Mm.
And that's our 1,000 Tunnel campaign. So we ask people to donate a tunnel, and the tunnel is 25,000 rand. You can donate many tunnels if you're a big corporate, for CSI or ESG, or BBBEE.
Yes.
But Or you can donate in part. You know, you can do as little as 50 Rand on our website. We have a crowdfunding platform. And so I said a tunnel is 25,000 Rand. That includes, we know that if we can go to a new place and put up 200 tunnels and be there for 2 to 5 years, that's going to bring the momentum and bring the shift in that community to start a local economy and start local businesses. People don't have to pay 140 Rand
to get into the taxi to go buy products, exactly. Products and produce.
So it's not just the cost of a tunnel, it's the cost of establishing a new area and all the facilitation that gets 200 people to the point where they can deserve a tunnel.
Yeah. Then when we enter to the community, we give them a lot of trainings, not just how to farm, how to grow your business, how to start a side hustle. We are helping them. We are going through the journey with them. Mm. So this 25,000 is covering everything, even monitoring, mentoring, because we need to be with them, holding their hands until we are sure that this community is up and running.
And it's sturdy.
When it comes to the trainings, we also help them not to need us.
Mm.
Like,
exactly.
We cannot do anything. They are now gone. Mm. No. Because even when it comes to seedlings, they have to have the training. They get trained on how to make your own nursery, how to make your own seedlings. Mm. Then it's also a job opportunity. Mm. You can make more. You sell to the neighbors. Mm. You sell to people who are farming. Then it's like something like that. It's not just that you are going to get 25,000, build a tunnel, then done. Mm. No. The whole process, the whole package is there.
How difficult is it for people to change a mindset on the profit? You know, my colleague who does the show before us is does business. And oftentimes, it's not how much you have. The challenge is you having a good relationship with money. So there are people who earn a lot of money, but do not know how to work with money, how to build on that money. Mm. And there are people who earn very little, but if they have good principles of money, are able to grow that money, are able for that money to do amazing things for their family. So let's talk about that, Sibusiso.
Yes. When we are training them on how to handle money, like business training, also starting at My Future. My Future training is where we are shaping someone, trying to let him dream again.
Mm.
If he had a dream, once had a dream of having a business, where is that dream?
Mm.
Then we wake it up, then we try to train them. When we are starting, we ask them to keep records. Now recording. Recording is the main thing. Then the records of money for the household budget must be separate, not mixing with the business money.
Don't pinch the money from the business. Even if there's no bread in the house, you've got to have your own separate budget and the business budget.
If you take something from the shop, you must know that your salary will be like deducted. You'll deduct that money.
Mm.
Because the only time where money should move is to move from the business to the house as a salary. There should be no money moving from the house to the business every time you are going to stock. So we help them to keep different records so that they can see if the business can stand. And they must get something from the business as the salary from my business.
Yeah.
And again, the question stands, is it easy for people to get that? You know, the principle stands, but it's a cultural shift in the mind about your relationship with money. How easy is that? How difficult is that for people?
Facilitation.
Yeah.
I think the word facilitation is to make something easy for someone.
Yes.
Because on that communities, we find people that not educated.
Mm.
Others never been in school.
Yes.
But they sell amagwinya, they sell acha.
Mm.
Then we just make it simple for them.
Mm.
Save, record. Record the money that you use for your stock, record the money that you got from selling. check if you made a profit or you made a loss.
You also have to think about how you're pricing.
Yes. Because you cannot stock with a huge amount and sell
for less. Just because you want the stock to move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then it is not easy to know if you are making profit if you are not recording.
Exactly.
So we just help them from there, record everything, tax money, everything else, put it on record so that you may know how much do you charge your product.
I know that you said you ask people to check if you know, around where they live, is there signage? How do they identify your partners?
The tunnel, we call the tunnel a beacon of hope.
Yeah,
because that tunnel is a beacon. This person is food confident.
Yes.
And with food confident, I'm just going to take a quick segue because I love this. People talk about food security.
Mm.
And food security can be a soup kitchen.
Yes.
Where people are reliant on the soup kitchen.
And line up.
To get their food.
With their dishes, yeah. Mm.
But if the soup kitchen closes because funding runs
this
out.
This is it.
Then you're not food secure anymore.
Mm.
So we talk about food confidence. Because once you know how to grow your own food, you will always know how to grow your own food. So that tunnel is a beacon of hope. That person is going to teach me food confidence. And if I don't want to learn and I want to do my own business that doesn't have to do with gardening, then I can buy good food from that person. So,
yes. It's
true. Does that answer your question?
It's true. And the way we are doing it, it's like, it's not the matter of helping people to start planting and have enough food. I used to tell the office members, the social tech team, that no matter what can happen to me, as long as where I'm going to be taken, there is soil, I've got life. Then,
incredible lesson to even hand down to your children, that's the gift you impart.
Yes.
That will be a legacy that you're going to leave with your family.
Then, when we are having those people thinking that way, we just stop jealousy on the communities by go and train your neighbors.
Yeah.
Those neighbors must make a circle of friends who will monitor each other and mentor each other and remind our training. They can just keep the thing moving. So it's like something that we make it big and it's growing.
I am so thrilled to have had a moment to talk to you. It's really, really quite an amazing story. So, yes, they can look out in their communities, but is there a website where they can find you? Please give us a website, Lydia.
So you can go look at www.sociotech.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
There is actually a little WhatsApp icon that is always hovering on the screen down there in the corner. So you can always WhatsApp us if you want to. We can also help you find a local teacher. Go and look for the 1,000 Tunnel Campaign button on the website. There you can learn more about the 1,000 Tunnel Campaign, read up. The other thing I would really encourage anyone to do is go look for the My Story. We have a big map of Africa on the website, and each one of those icons is a story of a person, and we call them change makers because they are making this change in their community.
Bab Mata, your parting shot. It's an incredible story. How long have you been on this journey?
I started in 2019 to put social tech like a participant.
Mm.
But later on, I think that was 3 years working as a facilitator in social tech.
Well, you are an inspiration. Thank you. Thank you. Sibusiso Sombatha is a facilitator, as well as Lydia Edlanga, who is Head of Technology, Innovation and Systems at Sociotech BBL. Okay, so that's how you find them on social media platforms. But that's our impact for today.
Kaya 959 has signed a code of... If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.